So this is the episode where I find out whether I'm allowed to say back that ass up on the air, huh?
I think it is.
Let's just keep saying it so much that there's no way you can edit it out. Girl, you look good,
won't you back that ass up? You's a fine motherfucker. I'm Jeremy Siegel. This is Politico Dispatch. And today...
So Juvenile, big rapper from the late 90s, early aughts, remixed one of his biggest songs, Back That Ass Up, to promote vaccine awareness. And now the song's called Vax That Thing Up, which is just hilarious.
Eugene Daniels on the story of how Back That Ass Up became Vax That Thing Up and what we can learn from it as the U.S. vaccination campaign sputters. I know you can't stand it, no holding hands chick, but when we get the shot, we gonna be romancing. Girl, you could be the queen. So to get started, for people who like might have no idea, could you tell me who Juvenile is?
First of all, I don't know who these monsters are who don't know who Juvenile is. However, so Juvenile was this huge rapper, was this huge rapper in like the early aughts, late 90s, obviously Back That Ass Up, which if you went to middle school and high school and went to parties, you probably heard and danced to the song. I know I did quite a bit. And he was part of this group called the Hot Boys for a little while. And so Bling Bling, that was a song that they did. So it was like, there was this kind of resurgence of rap at that time. Every time I buy a new rap, Bling Bling, the rentals on your car, like, it was like music to make people dance, and it was all about bling, and they always had on white, big-ass white tees, and sunglasses. It was very cool, and so I wore, unfortunately, a lot of really baggy white tees, and I look back on that like, what an interesting time to wear that outfit. But no, the music was great. Still very good. Timeless music, if you ask me.
So flash forward like 20 years.
Exactly.
We are in a pandemic.
Unfortunately, yes.
And you have Juvenile releasing this song, not Back That Ass Up, but Vax That Thing Up.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, tell me about that. What's the idea behind it? How did this come to be?
So this dating app for black people called BLK came to Juvenile and Manny Fresh, and they were like, hey, we want to do something about vaccines and dating. So it's kind of very specifically about, like, if you get vaccinated, you can use our app. So there was some, you know, there was capitalism involved. But they came to them, and he really liked the idea.
I'm hearing a story of how the numbers look in the black community and how we are not going to get the shot. And I feel like, you know, somebody that looks like me, it had to be a person like me to be somebody to step out there and say something. And why not use Back That Ass Up as a great step out song to use?
I was very surprised in the interview that he himself went through kind of this decision process on getting vaccinated.
Because I wasn't taking the shot at first. I
being said, kind of unsure about the vaccine.
One is I'm scared to death of needles. I've been that all my life. I was feeling the same way. I had all these doubts in my mind, my beliefs and stuff like that.
And then getting it. And so that is one of the reasons why he was like, oh, I have to do this song. And so they remixed it. And some of the lyrics are just really funny. It's like, girl, you look good. Won't you vax that thing up? You's a handsome young brother. Won't you vax that thing up? Dating in real life, you need to vax that thing up. Feeling freaky all night, you need to vax that thing up. And it's just like, it's actually a good song comparatively. Like when you compare it to all the terrible songs that are made for public awareness campaigns, like this is kind of at the top of being kind of good.
Yeah. So, I mean, what do you think we can learn from his story, that he is somebody who, you know, he told you he was sort of initially opposed to getting vaccinated, then ends up getting vaccinated, then ends up making this banger about getting vaccinated. I mean, like,
it is what a weird little situation. So, you know, he is exactly the type of person the administration loves to hear about and loves to talk about, because he came in concerned about the vaccine, even though he'd had people who he loved who died because of COVID-19 during the pandemic.
I've lost some lost ones because of COVID, and I saw the effect that it can have on a person that's in good health. So it scared me to death.
And so you have this person, and like a lot of Americans, lost someone, but still unsure about the vaccine. And when you talk to doctors, what they say is that's not bad, right? Like, it's okay to have questions to what you're putting in your body. Mm-hmm. That is completely normal. And his daughter was about to go to a school to go get her doctorate. So congrats to her. And they were told that it was highly recommended to get a vaccine for her.
I said, you know, before I let my daughter take the shot, I think I need to be the first one to go take it. So if something happens to me, you know, you might not want to take that shot.
And he said, like, I cannot be the father that I am and I want to be without getting this vaccine first. I'm not going to allow my children to get something I won't even put in my body. His wife is actually a registered nurse. And so the family had a conversation about the benefits, the pros and cons, like what they knew. And so he got the vaccine and then he realized nothing's wrong with this vaccine. It's great. He feels protected. He wants the world to reopen. He talked a lot about businesses and getting people back to their normal lives, back to dating, back to backing that ass up. And so like that was, you know, like he had this kind of journey of learning more about the vaccine. And now he's literally planning a tour to tell people in the Black community to vax that thing up. And, you know, Black people are not alone in that there is there's a lack of vaccine confidence in the Black community. They're also not the biggest group, because there was a lot of conversation at the beginning of the pandemic that Black people would never get the vaccine because of how we've been treated by the medical community, the Tuskegee experiment, all these things that, you know, we've talked about on podcasts and shows and we've written about extensively at Politico. But there is still a little bit of that in there. And so he decided that he wanted to bring that to people and That's where he finds himself now.
Does this work at the end of the day? Like, do things like this work? I mean, because this is like an important and difficult moment in the vaccination drive in the U.S. Like, a lot of people are vaccinated, but a lot of people still aren't, and things sort of seem like they're stalling out. But then you do have things like this from Juvenile. You have the White House like bringing in Olivia Rodrigo to promote vaccines. Like, I don't know, will this have a big effect? Do we know whether it could or will?
What's really funny, Jeremy, is that at the beginning of this year, when the vaccine process really started in earnest, I interviewed, and our amazing health team interviewed doctors and health experts and people on the ground who were going out and asking people to get vaccinated and talking to pollsters who were doing polling on who people trusted to tell them to get the vaccine, talking to the administration and the White House about what worked. And what everyone said to me at that time was, it's going to be your doctor. It's going to be, if your cousin got it, it is okay. It's going to be people like you and me who are high information people, right? Like, we're like obsessed with politics and information. So we're like, have all this information. We're spreading that to people. So it's going to be people who really had the trust already of communities to go out and do this, especially health experts. And so when I asked, like, do celebrities work? Because that's the first thing people think about. And they all said no. They all said, we are not leaning on celebrities and influencers at this point because we know that doctors are where it's at. So now, fast forward months, we're sputtering, we're stalling. Things are slowing down. The administration knew that was going to happen. They knew there was going to be a time where they had more supply than there was demand. And you were going to get past the people like you and me who are like really excited to get the vaccine. I assume you're excited to get the vaccine.
Yeah.
who are really excited to get the vaccine, who like would have taken it on day one. And then into the people who just had questions, people like Juvenile who wanted to know what was in it and how long it took. And then now they're hitting the people who are almost the hell knows, right? Mm-hmm. So much cussing on this podcast. they are the people who are really concerned, who really have issues. And what they're finding is a lot of them are white men who are either Republican or evangelical. There's obviously a lot of crossover with those two groups because so much politicization has happened about the vaccine. And so now they're basically like, you know what? Whatever works, right? We will take all the help we can get. And if that is Juvenile talking to the Black community. And just to be clear, Juvenile and the White House have yet to speak. He did not do this because of them, but they are embracing it because they know that it might help, right? We're nibbling around the edges on getting this thing really under control. And so every single person really matters, right? Every person that we're able to convince really matters. And so they have kind of opened it up a little bit more. Dr. Fauci has done all types of Instagram takeovers for influencers on Instagram. They've done things with Jennifer Garner from Alias, who I love. they have done things, obviously, with Olivia Rodrigo. She was at the White House last week, and then they released a video on Friday with her and Dr. Fauci.
Shout out to vaccines, for real. The sooner all of us get vaccines, the sooner we can, like, hang out with our friends and sing songs and all of the fun things.
All right.
They know that now they have to reach young people because they seem more reticent to get the vaccine than their counterparts at this point, for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And in all of those other groups that they can. And so it is about not really throwing spaghetti on the wall. They didn't like that analogy when I offered it. But it is kind of like that, right? It is like, we will do whatever we can. We will go wherever we can go. And we will talk to and lead with whomever will work. Like, if Juvenile thinks that he can reach people, damn it, let's do it. You know what I mean? I think that is where they're at right now. Because they kind of knew we were going to hit this precarious spot, especially as, you know, that Delta variant is bouncing around. And so they're really, really putting the pedal to the metal to get some of this stuff together. And so that includes working with influencers more than they probably would have at the very beginning.
Eugene Daniels, thanks so much for talking with me.
Oh my God, thank you so much. And make sure you back that thing up so you can back that ass up.
Eugene Daniels is a co-author of Politico Playbook, which you can sign up for at politico.com/newsletters. Also, today, new polling shows that unvaccinated and partially vaccinated Americans, the people who are most vulnerable to COVID, are the least concerned about the more contagious Delta variant of the virus. According to a survey from CBS News, 72% of fully vaccinated respondents are concerned about the variant, while only 48% of not vaccinated or not fully vaccinated people are. The Delta variant has caused rising caseloads in all 50 states, predominantly among unvaccinated populations, and nearly all recent COVID deaths in the U.S. have been among those who were not vaccinated. And German Chancellor Angela Merkel is promising a stronger government response on climate protection after the deadly floods that have ravaged parts of Germany and neighboring countries. Speaking during a visit to flood-stricken areas on Sunday, she said, quote, "The German language knows hardly any words for this devastation, and we have to hurry to fight climate change." Climate scientists have long warned that extreme weather events would increasingly hit Europe as the world warms. The recent floods have claimed the lives of more than 180 people across Germany and Belgium. Subscribe to Politico Dispatch wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're there, check out some of our other shows like Playbook Deep Dive and Politico Energy. I'm Jeremy Siegel. Thanks for listening.